Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you ready to put Craig Breslow in the hot seat, Keith?
Oh, yes, I am. Are you ready to put him in the hot seat?
That's your guy.
Hot seat's too strong.
Hot seat's too strong.
Not the holiday season.
But he's the
Craig.
Yeah. I mean, that was a bit of a...
Yeah, what happened?
A bit of a fib in retrospect.
Kind of turns out a little bit of a fib.
Some would call it a big giant lie.
Yeah. Although the offseason's not over, to play your side of the street for a moment, he does have time to make some other moves.
Thank you for pointing that out. For my guy, Breslow,
in the here
I appreciate
and
that.
In the now, it seems to be going a little counter to what his original plan was.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah. I don't quite get it. And he does have more time to, I guess, deliver on what he said. But what he said is they're not going to go get a bunch of pitching depth. They're going to get a guy to pitch alongside Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Johan Oviedo?
Yeah.
Hoss of the Week nominee?
Hoss of the Week nominee. A lot of people talking about him being Hoss of the Week nominee. He might have to win it. Although it's been a very competitive field.
Oh, it's a strong field this week.
We talked about the late, great Robert Wadlow, the world's original and maybe greatest giant at 8'11".
Past. Oh, yeah, he was a hoss.
Way too soon.
Emphasis on was, but was he was a hoss, yeah.
He was 8'11". We also had, what was the other big number? Oh, Aaron Harang, a.k.a. the Harangutan,
sure.
Who was a random player this week, who had similar height and weight as Oviedo.
I'd imagine he's packed on a few since his playing days, but I don't
point.
Know that for a fact.
Let's get him on the show.
Might be more of a hoss.
So, yeah, those a couple of big nominees, but I would say... You know, the newest member of the Red Sox, you probably got to give him the honor.
6'6", 275, and he's a new Red Sox. I don't know if we're ready to hand it out yet.
No, not yet.
But I think he should be a nominee.
Strong contender.
Red Sox trade for Juan Oviedo in a five-player deal that prominently features the password.
Password's gone.
Just Stinkson.
Yeah.
Garcia.
Stinkson.
Now a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Okay.
Honestly, the deal for me is whatever. I think it's fine. I don't know where the password fits in. I didn't love what I saw when he got up here to the big leagues, but it was admittedly like a teeny tiny, barely even there sample size.
It was quick. Yeah, Mike Trout struggled originally.
I don't know where he fits in on this team. So you're telling me you want to trade him? I honestly don't really care. But could you have put him in a deal for somebody different as opposed to Johan Oviedo, who I didn't pretend to even know until yesterday, although he did pitch against the Red Sox last year.
He did.
I think the deal is whatever. I think it's fine. I'm not here to rip the deal. I am here to rip those comments from Breslow, mm-hmm. And he came here saying they were going to go get a starter to pitch alongside Crochet and go, you know, A and B with Garrett Crochet, and they're not overly concerned about their depth. And between Sonny Gray and Johan Oviedo, all they're doing is bringing in pitching depth, which is not what they said they were going to do. So,
yeah,
what does that indicate? What is that telling us about the rest of the offseason? Has Breslow already swung and missed on some higher-end arms? Are some arms that are presently here that we had penciled into the rotation?
Yeah.
Could those potentially be on the move? That's what I want to talk about. It's 617-779-7937. You can get into it here on Jones and Keefe. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Keep your eyes out for a Top 5 Friday there today.
Tough one to assemble.
We're going to do our Top 5 albums.
All time.
All time. We did our Jones and Keefe Wrapped yesterday. We went through our current Spotify albums, artists.
Mostly our kids' favorite albums and artists.
Our listening age. Billy's 80. So we did a lot of that yesterday. We thought today would be a good day to give you our top five albums. We'll do that coming up. So keep your eyes, again, on Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch, chat, subscribe to WEEI. We do have a Friday 4-pack at 11:30. We got the Week in Review at 12:45. And joining us today, for the first time, we're going to talk to Drew Carter.
Hell yeah.
The television play-by-play man for the Celtics, but also...
This is what I'm really excited about.
He's going to be doing the Monsters, Inc. animated broadcast on Monday Night Football.
I'm all in on this Monsters, Inc. I've watched the Toy Story one from a couple years ago? Yeah, they've They did Simpsons.
Sick brag, bro.
They've done a lot of different ones.
They've done some hockey ones, too. I know, like, the outdoor games, like the Winter Classic that they do, I think they animate.
What's that show I don't like? It's the kid...
The Greens or something like
that? Yeah.
Lucas watches that.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't like that show.
Yeah, it's not my favorite either.
I don't care for it.
What is it called? Big City Greens.
Big City Greens. Yeah, they did one of those broadcasts. Yep. I'm into it. There was one of them. It was one of the London games that, was it on like ESPN Plus? It was like oddly on a channel or an app that I didn't have, but then it was also on Disney Plus. So I'm like screaming at a animated Bijan Robinson to score a touchdown for fantasy.
Are you thinking of your Nickelodeon Slime Time game?
Oh, no. I'm thinking of it was animated. It was like Toy Story style.
Got it.
But it was the only version of the game I could watch. I don't know. I like it. So we'll ask Drew Carter about that, plus the Celtics, obviously.
So we'll talk to Drew Carter at 11 o'clock here on the show today. But if you want to start with the trade, be my guest. I mean, I think, as I said, the trade is fine. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's another arm on the team. I guess I'd rather trade a prospect for a guy who can help right now, especially a prospect that doesn't fit. So I guess I'd give it a thumbs up. I don't like what the deal, what I think at least it represents. They're probably out on certainly Tarik Skubal and probably Joe Ryan and Cole Reagans and other names we've been talking about.
So when I first saw this trade, I could look at it two different ways. There's a good way of looking at it and then also sort of like a bad news way of looking at it. So first, the bad news way of looking at it is I don't think, and I'm not like dying that the password's gone. However, the Red Sox farm system is viewed as one of the better farm systems in baseball. If you go to Sox prospects, they still have Peyton Tolley and Connelly Early on their list, as they should, right? Those guys haven't played a lot in the majors. But let's say you take those two guys out, right?
Where's Josh Stinkson? Where was he?
He was sixth, so he'd move up to fourth if those two guys are on the big league club. So he, let's just say, in essence, is a top five prospect on the Red Sox. So I thought he would have been included in a different deal. I thought he would have been a guy that helps you get Skubal or Joe Ryan or somebody like that, somebody a step above Oviedo. So even though I'm not like dying about Garcia, we even brought up the other day, you're already trying to trade Duran or Abreu. So what are you holding on to this guy for? So I'm fine trading him. I just thought it would have been for somebody better.
Could you have done better than this guy?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair criticism of the trade.
And now
you
don't have him, and it's one less guy. It's another prospect gone. So, you know, there's that fine line of feel free to trade him, but, you know, don't trade him all away either. Here's how I'll spin it as a positive.
Oh, you're going to
spin. Here's a good spinner, a sweeper.
You're going to go Brez Pro.
It hasn't happened yet, but I'm saying how this could possibly be a good
idea. I feel like you're being more Brez Pro than me right now.
What if
Craig
Breslow and the Red Sox know that they're going to try to get Skubal or Ryan, and in order to do that, you're going to have to give up a Bayo, a Early, or a Tolley. You're going to have to give up maybe two of those three really good pitchers, and you're going to get one in, but then you don't want to be just barren for 4 and 5, and that's where Oviedo comes in. So we have Oviedo and Gray. So, hey, look over here. We're adding these guys, knowing we're going to trade away Tolley and Early because they have such value. They have way more value than Garcia has or – honestly, probably either of the outfielders that they're willing to trade. So that would be my one thought. It's like, all right, let's cover ourselves a little bit because we're going to need the depth because we're going to trade away some of that.
I think it's totally fair. Except.
Hasn't happened.
Well, it hasn't happened. And does Breslow really deserve the benefit of the doubt to like big brain something like that?
No.
I'm as Brez Pro as they come, although Keith is making a late charge here.
Yeah, look at this.
But I'm not going to give him credit for like big braining and masterminding.
No.
A move over here, a move over there, all to make the big move that nobody saw coming. I mean, Crochet was a good trade.
It was a great trade.
I really like that trade. It wasn't exactly, hey, let me tinker over here and tinker over there and get all those pieces of big brain, a huge trade. It was just giving a package of prospects for a pitcher who was clearly available.
Right.
So, I mean, if he does it, great. And I'll look back and I'll go, I get it. Yeah. I see it. I should have trusted my guy Breslow. In the meantime, I'm not ready to give him that much credit for a number five. I like this Karabas yesterday. I usually go to him for a reaction. I think it's a good, it's good pulse of the fan base.
All right, good barometer.
Red Sox are stockpiling starting pitching depth. Never a bad thing, but obviously not a needle mover. I'd say Oviedo is not a needle mover.
No.
Our guy Bradfoe says Oviedo is a guy who will look absolutely dominant in one start. That's good.
And big.
Good. Well, he's going to look big in every start.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Good extension, Keith, if you care about his extension. Connects? Oh, he's going to look good in those.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about his extension.
Good extension.
Okay.
Good fastball.
Yeah.
So he'll look dominant in one start, Bradfoe says, then absolutely not in the next. At least he has the potential to be a top of the rotation guy. He missed 2024 with Tommy John. He came back and made 9 starts last year after a lat injury. He was originally a St. Louis Cardinal. He was traded for, now I'm blanking on who it was. It was a lefty. You're going to recognize the name when you see it. So he started as a Cardinal. He was dealt to the Pirates. He pitched against the Sox last year.
Who, Oviedo?
Yes.
Oh, Jose Quintana.
Thank you.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Sean McAdam is sort of playing your side of the street here, Keith.
All right.
He wrote yesterday, at the very least, the Red Sox have a surplus of starters that puts them in an enviable position at the winter meetings as they get underway in Orlando this weekend. It would seem Crochet, I would hope Garrett Crochet is untouchable. It would seem,
it
he
would
says,
seem, well, Crochet, you never know.
Gray, Oviedo, and Brian Bello are all untouchable.
What?
But nearly any of the team's other controllable young arms could be put or could put the Sox in a position other teams can only dream of.
Why is Bayo untouchable?
He says it seems.
Okay.
Crochet, Gray, Oviedo, and Bayo. He does list Bayo fourth out of those four.
Well, they just signed the other two guys. So, I mean, I guess that would be weird. Or they traded for Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. They
traded for both
of them. They traded for both of them. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, like, I assume they're going to keep those guys. Obviously, Crochet. I wouldn't put Crochet and Bayo in the same conversation.
Me either.
Because let's say you're trying to get a really major deal done, and the team that you're making the deal with is like not as interested in Connelly Early or Peyton Tolley, you wouldn't trade Brian Bayo? I would. There was a lot of good last year. Bayo was better than I thought he was going to be.
If he fell apart
in the playoffs. You could say, well, it's one start. Pretty big start, but it was one start. I don't know. I don't know if I have full trust in him. And I'm not trading him for like another Sonny Gray or another Oviedo, but if it's Scooble or Joe Ryan or even Cole Reagans, then yeah, I would do it.
I mean, look, if Bayo's in that kind of deal, then I'll look back and I'll say, I get it. Yeah. They added Sonny Gray and they added Oviedo because they wanted some.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably a good combination of at the end of your rotation, if they're 3-4, if they're 4-5, that's a good combination of Gray, you kind of know what you're going to get, and Oviedo's an upside guy, so let's see. If you're moving Bayo for one of those guys, meaning Reagans or Ryan or on the really high-end Tarik Skubal, then I get it. But I don't know. McAdam's telling you that Bayo's untouchable, or at least it seems that he's untouchable.
He should be touchable.
Somebody,
he should be pretty touchable.
Somebody's moving, Keith, right?
Yeah, I would think.
It might be Early, who's your guy. It might be Tolley, who's my guy. Mm-hmm. It might be Bayo, who's probably nobody's guy. So somebody like that is going to move. I do agree with that. Is it going to be for the high-end pitching that Breslow promised? I'm dubious, and that's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dubious. Meanwhile, Jeff Passan out with some more Red Sox notes. He says the Red Sox will spend on a big bat. Now I wonder what the line for that is.
What's the like number for a big bat? How many Tony Hawk skateboards is a big bat?
Is Bregman a
7?
Quote unquote big bat.
Yeah, I think Bregman would qualify.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Is Bichette?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, definitely Alonso and Schwarber.
No, no doubt. But I think those other guys would qualify.
Passan says today they will spend on a big bat, and they're discussing their outfield surplus with multiple teams. Given what Passan wrote earlier this week, we're probably talking about Duran or Abreu. So, look, if Duran or Abreu are on the move and you add Bayo or you add Early or you add some other prospects to that deal, maybe there's still a high-end pitcher to go get. And if you're going to spend on a bat or two, then great. Then you've completed the offseason we all hope for. So far, you've gotten some pitching depth that you said you weren't going to get, and that's all you've done. Like, I'm a little thrown off by that, to be honest.
No, it's his words are making it a little bit confusing, because overall, that's not the worst strategy in the world, because you went into last year if you told me, you're like, who's going to have a better year, Walker Buehler or Lucas Giolito? I probably thought, based on recent history, it might be Walker Buehler. And it wasn't even close.
Last year, going into the year, 1,000% thought it was going to be Walker Buehler.
And Buehler was terrible, and Giolito was really good, yeah. And he got hurt at the end, but like he was really good. So there is something to be said for having a pile of these arms and kind of seeing which guy emerges. You know, they went in thinking, hey, maybe Tanner Houck or Cutter Crawford you'll get something out of. They were good 2 years ago. Crawford was on the shelf all year. Tanner Houck started, then was done. You know, so like you kind of need a bunch of arms, so I get it. But when you're out there telling everybody that we want somebody to go along with Garrett Crochet, and then the first two moves you make are guys that are nowhere near Garrett Crochet, it's a little puzzling.
It is. That's how I would describe the start. I mean, the Red Sox have been active. I mean, you can't say they're not active, mm-hmm. and they've made some moves going into the winter meetings. I'd agree with McAdam on this, where they put themselves in a position to be movers and shakers and to make some moves. So, I don't know, what's your comfort level or your trust level in Craig Breslow at the winter meetings? He's got to go execute, right? And I guess that's probably over-dramatizing. I mean, baseball's offseason could go right until April.
Right, right.
But this is a time to go pounce. So can he land a big bat? He has a surplus of arms. What's he going to do with them? He has a surplus of outfielders. What's he going to do with them? And again, what's your confidence level in Breslow to get something done with the winter meetings getting done? Or underway, rather, this week. 617-779-7937. We got a Top 5 Friday for you at 1045. Coming up, what is it? A little less than a half an hour from now. Our Top 5 albums. Drew Carter, television play-by-play man for the Celtics, going to join us at 11 o'clock. Friday 4-pack, 1130. And, of course, the Week in Review at 1245. You can jump in on the Red Sox. Billy Lanny will get you all the latest here in trending. And when we come back, should we be expecting more out of Steph Diggs down the stretch? We'll do that next.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Boston Bruins are back in the win column after last night's 5-2 victory over the St. Louis Blues at the TD Garden. Pavel Zacha scored twice for the Bees in the victory, and goaltender Jonas Korpisalo made 37 saves on 39 shots. Up next, the Bruins host the New Jersey Devils tomorrow night. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. Boston Celtics are now winners of 3 in a row after the C's 146-101 victory against the Wizards in Washington last night. Derek White led all scorers with 30 points. The Celtics are right back at it tonight when the Los Angeles Lakers visit the TD Garden. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. LeBron James' streak of 1,297 consecutive games with double-digit points came to an end last night in the Lakers' 123-120 win over the Raptors in Toronto. James finished the night with just 8 points. In a 5-player trade, the Boston Red Sox have acquired right-handed starting pitcher Johan Oviedo and 2 minor league prospects from the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Red Sox will be sending prospect Joe Stinson Garcia and minor league right-handed pitcher Jesus Treviso to Pittsburgh. The Detroit Lions got the 44-30 win over the Dallas Cowboys last night on Thursday Night Football. Tonight, right here on 93.7, you can hear the Boston College Eagles take on UMass Lowell. Pre-game coverage begins at 7 o'clock, and puck drop from the Songhees Center is at 7:30. And beginning tonight at 5 o'clock and all day tomorrow, you can catch the calls of the MIAA High School Football Championship games on WEEI AM 850. Number 1 Shawshin Tech takes on number 2 Foxborough for the Division 5 Championship at 5 o'clock, followed by the Division 3 Championship between number 1 King Philip and number 7 North Attleboro. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure.
or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you like that clip from Gronk and Edelman discussing Steph Diggs, his recovery from an ACL, Patriots at the bye. He's pretty much been, Keith, the number three wide receiver all year in terms of snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically been when they're all healthy. Booty and Hollins play a ton of snaps. Diggs is third. He's been the most productive. They both think he's going to get 1,000 yards with four games to play.
Yeah, so he's at 705 right now, which means he would need roughly 74 yards a game over the next four to get over 1,000, which I definitely think is doable. He leads the team in receptions. He leads the team in yards. He does not lead the team in touchdowns, but he does have three. And I thought it was really interesting perspective from those two specifically, two guys that both tore their ACLs and both came back. And it was in consecutive seasons, I believe, too.
That sounds right.
But, you know, guys that had a ton of production in their careers and, you know, how much better they were later in the year. And because with Steph Diggs, we've kind of talked about that a lot where, all right, Kayshon Booty's playing more than him. Mack Hollins is playing more. Sometimes Kyle Williams is playing almost as much, even though you don't notice him, right? Like Kyle Williams outside the touchdown last week, you don't even notice.
You would never know he's out there so much, but he's out there actually a shocking amount. Yeah.
And then when Steph Diggs is out there, they're throwing to him on fourth down or they're doing whatever else. His targets over the last couple of weeks have not been super high. Like they went to him a lot in that Jets game. He got targeted 11 times. He's only had double-digit targets in two games. I don't think it's a surprise. They're the primetime games, Sunday night against the Bills, Thursday night against the Jets.
Primetime digs, though we didn't really get that on Monday against the Giants.
Yeah,
but.
No, not on Monday. But that's basically what he averaged when he was in Buffalo. I think he had some seasons where he had like 160 targets or whatever it was. So like they went to him all the time. They're sort of picking and choosing their spots. But I'll take these guys at their word for it. If they feel like he is going to feel more comfortable, confident in his knee now than he did a month ago when he still looked pretty good to me, that's a great sign. Like, that's a guy that maybe you are going to get even more out of Steph Diggs. Because I was like, what you're getting now, pretty good. Number one receiver on the team. Not going to be an all pro or anything, but really good. It's helped unlock Drake May to a certain degree. And if you're like, oh no, wait a minute. After this bye week, you might even possibly get the four best games out of him. And then maybe even the playoffs that continues. So I thought that was really good to hear.
So I would add, too, with Diggs, he feels like a gotta-have-it spot guy. Like, how many times, even in the Monday night game, and Diggs had very little production in that game, how many times on fourth down do they go to Diggs? Like, that's where they look. So, gotta-have-it spots, I feel like Diggs has been very good this year. I've been happy with the production. 1,000-yard season. Now, this is Jones math, Keith. I just did it real quick, so I don't know how accurate it is, if you want to fact-check me. But through 13 games, he's averaging 54.2 yards a game. He needs 295 more yards over four games to get to 1,000. That means he'd need about 74 yards a game. So call it an extra 20 yards a game.
Does that math make math?
Yeah, I'm actually not totally sure. Did you do all that math?
I just said 74 yards a game.
Yeah, a couple minutes ago. Yeah.
Oh, maybe,
yeah, probably when you were doing the math.
No, 100%. I was probably literally doing the math.
Let me save you the time right now and tell you.
You say he's averaging 54 a game?
No, that part I didn't say. I just said he needs 74 a game.
But he's going to go up by 20 a game. That's the increase in production. My bad, I was doing the math. So he's got to go up by 20 a game to get that done. I'll be honest, I'd like him to get to 1,000 yards. I think that would be cool. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in forever.
Since Edelman in 2019.
But I just look at it and I say, I don't really care about that production. I do care if he's really going to up his production in the postseason, though. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, if he can just ramp up to do that, I would feel a lot better about that. So yeah.
His current pace, even if he doesn't up his pace, is like 920.
That's what I was going to say.
It's like super close. So he basically is that.
If he's at 920 and they're off on their 1,000-yard prediction, but in the playoffs, all of a sudden he's doing the 75 yards a game or whatever will be a 1,000-yard pace.
That's very promising.
And I would imagine that's really what they're aiming for.
Yeah, and I think this plan, and who knows if this was the plan just because he was coming off an ACL, if this was a plan because it's a new team, if this is a plan because he's in his 30s, well, like, I don't know.
You asked that a while ago, and I initially was like, no, they're ramping him up. And then they really haven't. Maybe they'll use the bye week, though, as a week to transition to it and really change the snaps in the room, although you can make a case, why would you change anything?
I mean,
they've been great.
Not to redo this conversation again, but we thought, when they first signed him, great signing, but he might miss a couple games, and that's okay. We thought he might not start the season until week 3 or 4.
Oh, I thought there was no shot.
Right? We were like, was it week 5? Their guy? He might debut against Buffalo.
I thought there was
list.
No shot he would start the year. And again, I said this a lot this year, but if you're just hearing it, I was very wrong about all those Diggs predictions.
Yeah.
But I thought there was no shot he'd start the year on time. I thought there's no shot he'd play 17 games. I guess he still might not. But I would say at this point, that looks like a good bet that he's going to play every game this year, maybe be their first 1,000-yard receiver.
And I'll tell you what, though, like if that Bills game is any indication, I mean, he came out a house of fire. And there's a decent chance they play the Bills not just next week. There's a great chance they play the Bills next week. There's a decent chance they play them again in the playoffs. And so what kind of digs do you think you're going to get in that game? Or if he's in the AFC Championship game, because
that's a great point.
You know,
that's honestly a reason to want the Bills in the playoffs.
You kind of do for that game.
Yeah.
The guy's a maniac in that game. that's what I'm rooting for.
I had never thought of that. That's a great point.
The Bills don't want to see that.
No.
Like that guy again, he's possessed. So that would be awesome to see. And it does give you just like, you know, you see it in the NBA all the time. The guys that are really good in the regular season or like the great players, then there's another level in the playoffs. Feels like Diggs has that. And for as much success as he had in Buffalo, they never made a Super Bowl.
Nope.
Right? Like Josh Allen's awesome player, never made a Super Bowl. So if they're a game away or two games away, you can only imagine what kind of performance you're going to get out of Diggs. That to me is all positive.
So here's a question about Diggs. And I had to go back and refamiliarize myself with his contract.
Yeah.
He is basically on a one-year deal. It's technically a three-year deal for a lot more money than that, $69 million.
Nice.
$26 million guaranteed is how it was reported.
Yeah.
It's functionally, though, not that. I went back, and I remembered reading this
at the time
early in the year. Mm-hmm. Florio broke it down. He says it's basically a one-year deal for $18.5 million that includes very high per-game roster bonuses. He's been playing every game, so he's going to hit those. It can be $23 million if he hits all his incentives this year. The Patriots only owe him for next year, Keith, $1.7 million.
$1.7? You could barely get a Tony Hawk 900 skateboard for
plus
that.
Plus roster bonuses if he's on the team. But like they could move on very easily if they wanted to.
Okay,
I wouldn't want to move on. I want him back.
Yeah.
But obviously you're going to have to tear that deal up and give him a new deal. What do you think he's going to want? How confident are you that he'll be the same guy if he has a little more money and not playing for what's functionally a one-year deal? Like, how do they handle all that with him?
I mean, I think part of it is, let's see what this four games in the playoffs look like. You know, and not to say that you're fighting for your contract on these games, but does it end specifically for him kind of on a high note? And, like, is Drake May really relying on him? And because it does seem like the group couldn't be much better chemistry-wise, like, for top to bottom. You know, we talk with Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis and Mike Onwenu. Those guys all say it. You hear Drake May and Pop Douglas, all these guys on the station, like they all say it.
Marcus Jones has been like, oh, my God, the bonding and the vibe and all this stuff.
So,
guys who hadn't been here, Carlton Davis. Yeah.
And that's Diggs included. So if he's playing really well, I obviously would want him back. I think it was Ninkovich and Wiggy were talking about this a week or so ago, and they were saying, you know, is he going to be back and all this stuff? And I think Ninkovich was right. I think they'll probably go to him, and then this is where the salary cap is fake, where they'll go to him and be like, hey, we'll give you like money up front. We'll rearrange some things. You're going to get more money, and we're going to save more money. As stupid as that is, that's how it works in the NFL. So that would be my guess. You know, if he makes it through healthy,
they'll give him more money. They'll save cap money.
Right. They got to give him real money. But they're going to give him more money, so he'll be happy. Well, I don't think. I think he will be. And then the team will also have a little bit more cap space, which they may or may not use.
Right. So look, I think he'll be back. I'm not like trying to create a rift or drama or anything about the they'll bring him back. I think this is honestly very similar. He's not Randy Moss in 2007, but this is similar to when Moss came in and he had a monster year and you weren't sure if he was going to be back, and the Patriots ended up giving him a deal. I think they had to outspend Philly or whoever it was that offseason to keep him, and they did. So they ponied up to keep Randy Moss. My guess is this would go something similar to that.
Yeah.
And Diggs is under contract, but again, he could, for $1.7 million, he's way outplayed that contract.
But he's also 32 years old, and I think there might be more interest this year than there was last year, just because of the ACL, and you weren't sure how he was going to respond. He's responded well. But, like, look around the league. Like, I don't want to tear the guy down, but, like, there's so many ridiculous stud wide receivers that are going to be making a ton of money, and teams either have them or they don't, or they're going to try to take them in the draft. So I don't think there's going to be like eight teams lined up for Steph Diggs. As good as he's been this year and as good of a fit as he is for here, and he might not want to go somewhere else. He's like, I've already played for four teams.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. So I think he's going to be back.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's going to be a relatively modest deal. Like, I don't think he's going to shatter the bank. You just said he's 32. He's having a good but not great season. He's not putting up 1,400 yards. He might barely crack 1,000 by the end of the year. So I don't think there's going to be like a crazy market for Steph Diggs. I don't. There wasn't last year. I don't think there'd be a crazy market. I'm sure you get him back on a reasonable deal. But if now you're giving him some money and or another year into the Steph Diggs experience, I am curious how it will go in year two and how it would go in year three. Because year one has been shockingly, like, outside of, you know, his party boat experience.
Yeah, which just seems like forever
ago. It does.
Yeah.
Outside of that, there's been like no drama, no blips on the radar, no problems.
But
which
this
I'm stunned at.
This is the combination of having a really good quarterback that helps for these receivers. Like, you think Justin Jefferson's enjoying his time with J.J. McCarthy and Max Brosmer? I don't.
You see the hug he gave Sam Darnold coming off the field? He was like, I miss you.
He does. Yeah.
That was Darnold.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even A.J. Brown, with a Super Bowl winning quarterback, hates him.
Can't stand him.
So, like, across the board, like, these guys know what it's like in other places. And so he's probably like, all right, I'm happy Drake May. Also, Mike Vrabel, great players, coach. They have a good relationship, right? Because Vrabel is the guy that would bust balls for Belichick. I think Diggs can do the same thing, and they have a good back and forth between the two of them. It's an offense he clearly feels pretty comfortable in. And he doesn't seem to be the guy. Like, I think he knows where he's at in his career. Like, he's not going to be the 100-yard and a touchdown and 10 targets every game guy. Because that was one thing I was like, all right, is he going to be satisfied with that? Is he going to be okay with that? He is.
From all accounts, he
certainly has been.
There's been a bunch of games like Monday night.
Yep.
Like, Monday night is not an outlier for him. There's been a bunch of games like that where he's not really super involved and he has a quiet night and he hasn't bitched at all.
Nope.
Now, it's hard to bitch when you've won 10 in a row and you're 11-2.
Yeah, but I mean, first three games of the season, they were 1-2. He had no touchdowns. He did not have many yards, and you didn't really hear much about him. And then, boom, back-to-back 100-yard games, and you're like, oh, okay, this guy's good.
And to your point, I mean, A.J. Brown could be winning a Super Bowl and complaining the whole time. So guys do it.
Yeah.
Diggs has been on winning teams and complained about that before. So it's not the first time he's on a winning season. This does feel a bit different, at least so far. 617-779-7937. Looking over some of the texts here, Keith, on our Red Sox conversation. Here's some names. Brian Baio. You suggested Brian Baio could be on the move.
He could. I mean, in my humble opinion.
Brian Baio in a larger deal for Fernando Tatis. In or out on that? They don't need an outfielder.
No. In.
I like Tatis.
I like Fernando Tatis.
But, like, now you're getting another outfielder now.
I guess. I mean, you got to move some pieces around. Bring him back into play short.
Did
you used to do that?
I'll make it work for any player that's talented, but, like, I'm trying to target a different position.
Yeah.
Freddie Peralta is a name that we keep getting.
Yep, I like Freddie Peralta.
Text line says, enjoy Milwaukee, Brian Baio. Welcome to Boston, Freddie Peralta.
Done.
People are complaining about the password being in the deal. He's the 85th prospect in baseball. I'm not sure where they're getting that from. Which list is that? MLB Pipeline, Baseball America?
Probably
I don't know.
Top 100.
Maybe their own personal list. Maybe they just whipped up a top 100 prospects list.
My guess is, I'm not telling you they're right, but my guess is they think he's not the level of prospect that the media is putting him at. He kind of came out of nowhere as a prospect last year. And if Breslow can play that game right, where you're selling high on a prospect that you don't really believe in, great. If the password goes to Pittsburgh and hits 30 home runs, then this is going to blow up in his face.
Yeah.
But I was never the biggest believer in him as a prospect. There's not a
fit here. He looked overmatched when he came up. Now, that's not the most fair thing. Like, there are a lot of guys that had a cup of coffee, looked bad, then ended up being all-stars. But watching him, and then with his position that he plays and what you have currently, like, I'm okay trading him. I just wondered if, you know, whatever he's ranked, right, in the Major League system or the Red Sox system, could you have gotten a little bit more? Like, it felt like he could have been a lottery ticket for some other team and not a fourth starter.
I think that's fair. I do think that's fair. One more text here. Whoa, Keith. No keys to the bye week?
We had one keys this week. We did keys to the Giants. Sorry.
No keys to the bye week.
Yeah, it's in my contract. Only one keys a week.
One keys per week is exactly what that is. 617-779-7937. We do have the week in review, though, at 12:45.
Jam-packed.
Of course,
we can
the
start
Friday
now.
Four-pack. Yep. Oh, it's a jam week in review?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
It's brag heavy.
Well, there's some brags. There was our Lord and Savior was discussed.
Oh, yeah, right.
Remember that?
That
was it's Thursday heavy.
That was a late entry.
Thursday heavy. If you missed yesterday, good news for you.
Good recap coming up for you. So that's week in review. We got the four-pack of questions for the NFL games this weekend. Some college games in there, I think, as well. Coming up at 11:30, we're going to talk to Drew Carter, play-by-play man for the Celtics. He'll also be doing the Monsters, Inc. broadcast on Monday, which we're very interested
in. I'm all aboard that. So CC Beans is going to be all in on that.
We're going to be talking about that at 11. And on the way next, it's a Top 5 Friday. After we did Jones and Keefe Wrapped yesterday, we're going to give you our Top 5 all-time album.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's next? Top 5 Friday, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We gave you the Jones and Keefe Wrapped yesterday. Spotify rap for the program.
Yeah, very good.
Listening age, top artists, and top albums. Which
you don't
got
get
us
the most reaction. Nick's List.
Oh, Nick's List.
People like Nick's List.
People did, and Nick was like, no one's going to know these acts.
He's a metalhead.
It's true.
So, yeah, it's some metal bands. People really responded to that.
So we gave you, like, again, our listening age, our top artists of the year, top songs of the year.
Albums.
And top albums. It got us thinking today for top five. We should list off our top five albums of all time. Jones's top five, Keith's top five.
This was tough. This is tough. Just like, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite TV show? What are your favorite albums? So you might like a band or an artist more. I'm not going to tell you how you did yours.
Mm-hmm.
How I did mine. This might not line up with my five favorite artists or bands, but sometimes it's like, well, I like three songs from this album, three songs from this one, and three songs from this one.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I might like them more. But what album is basically like a can't skip album?
Skip on the album. Okay. Yeah. You went first on the clock yesterday. Yeah. I'm going to take first ups here.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's count them down here, Nick.
Number
five.
Okay, I like Grand Champ by DMX. You remember this one?
You are a DMX guy, yeah.
This came out in 2003. This is Where the Hood At, Keith.
Where the Hood At?
This is Get It On The Floor, Get It On The Floor.
Sure.
DMX Grand Champ, 2003. Yep.
Number
four.
The Great Depression, DMX. This came out in 2001.
These are all DMX so far?
Why? So far. Okay. Yeah, I mean,
it's
so far.
All DMX.
2001, We Right Here, Who We Be. Those sound very similar, by the way.
Yeah.
Those are on The Great Depression in 2001.
Okay.
Coming in at number third.
And then there was X, DMX in 1999.
Again.
That's Party Up.
Okay.
What's My Name?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good ones on that one.
Yep.
Next.
Number two.
This is a big year for DMX. 1998, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, also by DMX.
That was huge.
Slippin', Bring Your Whole Crew.
Slippin', yep.
That one's not a radio-friendly play. I will tell you, that is very much not radio-friendly.
No, don't play it, Nick. Please don't.
What's in the Mud? My goodness.
Yep.
But okay, what's the last one?
Number
one.
That's, of course, still somehow in my top five on Spotify. It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Also released in 1998, the Rough Riders anthem, How's It Going Down, among many other great hits. Grand Champ, Great Depression, and then there was X, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, and It's Dark and Hell is Hot, somehow all by DMX. Top five all-time
was
albums.
The Exit Wounds soundtrack sixth? Romeo Must Die?
Where was the Belly soundtrack?
Yeah, where's Belly?
Belly did have like one real good song.
So I thought you're going to throw in 311 just to throw us off.
No 311. That might be the upset of the day.
It's true. I had Chuck in New Hampshire pointed this out yesterday. I had no 311.
I thought Transistor might get in there.
Ooh, it's hard to pick an album with that.
That's fair. Well, you picked all of the DMX albums. So got to hog the spots.
That's your Keith's list.
Number
five.
Going with Dookie by Green Day. This is real good. This, I would say, is their best album. Others might say is some that came after that. But this is, you know, When I Come Around, Basket Case. Even some of the songs that you might not know the titles to, you definitely know all the songs. So this is fantastic. Green Day, Dookie.
Number
four.
Rage Against the Machine debut album called Rage Against the Machine.
Eponymous, yeah. Good album.
Yeah, very good. This is their first one. You got, Bullet in the Head, all-time song, Killing in the Name, so give me Rage Against the Machine.
Coming in at number third.
Wu-Tang, Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers. If you like swordplay, get in on this. This is fantastic. Creep, you got the Method Man.
Yeah.
No, swords.
What do you mean?
Swords.
What do you mean, if?
Samurais. Yeah. I know that you do, and most of us do. Bring the Ruckus, all of that on this tremendous album.
Number
two.
Going with Toxicity by System of a Down. Hard to choose just one System of a Down album. Their debut was also very good. They had a few after this, but this is the one with Chop Suey and Toxicity and Aerials. This one's very good.
Number
one.
I'm going with my queen, Lana Del Rey.
Oh!
Born to Die. It's a no skipper. It's got such hits as Video Games, which I play. Diet Mountain Dew. I prefer just the full Tang Mountain Dew, a song called Radio. I'm on the radio. This song, this is like an album to me.
Sick brag,
it's like
bro.
Summertime sadness. Sometimes I have that.
It's almost like she wrote them about you.
Really, it is.
Almost.
Blue jeans. I sometimes wear blue jeans. These are all songs off the album.
Yeah, it's a lot of sweatpants and Timberlands, but yeah.
Mostly sweats and Timberlands.
Yeah, yeah. I have an event at Gillette Stadium. Keith will wear blue jeans.
Thank you. When we go out of the studio, I'll throw on a pair of jeans to be like, see? I have adult clothes as well.
Our friend, she refers to their kids' pants. She's like, they wear sweatpants most of the time, as Lucas does.
Yes,
Lucas
yes.
rarely ever wears like jeans. She refers to them as hard pants.
Hard pants?
She's like,
oh, the jeans.
Yeah, like, no, if you're going to like, you're going to dress up, could you put on some hard pants?
Oh, got it.
That's like for you, Keith.
I do.
Anytime there's a work function, throw on some hard pants.
I do. So I had a little bit more, a slightly more variety than you, Jones, but I had Green Day, Rage Against the Machine, Wu-Tang, System of a Down, and Lana Del Rey on my list.
Chuck in New Hampshire. I thought this was going to be a lock, too. He says, I bet Keith's number one is going to be a Korn album. No Korn albums.
It's really tough. I celebrate the first four albums, but it was also hard to choose. The first one, self-titled, awesome. Our intro song is from that. I like Life is Peachy quite a bit. Follow the Leader, really good. Inexplicably, 12 silent tracks before you get to the album to start.
It's a real mind F is what that is.
Like, is there something wrong with my disc
band? I want my money back.
My disc band's broken. Like, no, you got to wait till track 13 for music to actually play. They're all very good. Same with Limp Bizkit. But this is what I was talking about, because we excluded like best of albums.
Yeah.
So if you did like best of any of those guys, like Slipknot or something, maybe I would include it.
DMX Greatest Hits. I did that. That crossed my mind. I didn't think about.
Well, I'm glad
that
you didn't
there.
Do yeah, that. I'm no, glad you had five different albums. That was really big of you.
I wanted to get quite a bit in there. Okay.
Well, those are our top five albums on a top five Friday here on Jones and Keefe. It's Spotify Wrapped season. We already gave you the Jones and Keefe Wrapped. If you missed any of that, that's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. You can check it out. It's free. It's easy. Get it on your phone. You can take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss a second of Jones and Keefe. Good time of year to do that, by the way. Holiday season, holiday shopping, a lot of traveling. So a good time to get the Audacy app on your phone. You can catch that from yesterday or today's top five. We will get you a Friday four-pack coming up at 11:30. Week in review, which I'm told is a busy, busy...
Ooh, boy.
Thursday heavy.
Yeah, it's a
week
yesterday.
In review. So stay tuned for that. And on the way next, we're talking to Drew Carter, television play-by-play man for the Boston Celtics.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.